You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
This is the Sawn Outdoors Podcast. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Sawn Outdoors Podcast. This is your host, McCade Cox. Guys, it's been great weather out in Utah. Minus the rainstorms we've had yesterday, Saturday. What was it? Hey, we're in April, April 13th. It was a really beautiful day. Got out with Zach and some friends, Dylan and his brother Dalton, and we were able to hike around. We put on 7.5 miles in the morning, late morning, early afternoon, looking for shed antlers. We had gone out last weekend to this spot and turned up absolutely nothing. That's not true. Dalton and his wife found a couple, but Dylan and I got skunked, as well as Zach. But right when we were leaving, we glassed up the elk. They were just too far to really go make a play on, like move into that area and check around. We were pretty exhausted by the time we got done. So we decided to pack it up and head out this weekend. Luck would have it, I was supposed to go on a limited entry turkey hunt here in Utah. Down in the southern region, but my friend Jeff, who I was supposed to go with, ended up not being able to go, and so rather than go down there by myself trying to locate some turkeys, I decided to go shed hunting with these guys again. So we went kind of in the general vicinity of where we had seen these elk last weekend, and like I said, put on 7.5 miles, and about 10 minutes into this hike, I turned up a brown elk shed, which I was pumped about because the place where we were going is not really typically known for elk or big elk or by any means. So to find an elk shed and have it be brown close to home was pretty sweet. So that's what I did. Maybe go turkey hunting this coming weekend. So this is, if you're listening to this when it launched, that's on Tuesday. But this Saturday, I should be headed down south with Jeff to see if we can't scrounge up a couple toms. So I hope you like today's podcast. We had a blast recording it. Thank you for tuning in to all of these episodes that have been airing over the last couple of months here. We nailed several podcasts at the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo in February of this year. And we were able to get a lot of great people together during that time and record some of these podcasts. So this one's going to follow suit, and it's another one that we recorded at the expo. This one, we sat down with Austin Legg of Eberly Stock. He's their marketing director and just an incredible dude. He's very ambitious. When he puts his mind to something, he's going to do it. He's funny. He's tough. He likes guns. He likes hunting. He's a great dude. So enjoy the podcast. We hope you do. If you haven't heard of Eberly Stock before, you'll hear about him in the podcast. He kind of talks about how Eberly Stock got started and where they're at today and what they're doing. But we're talking hunting backpacks and all sorts of things surrounding that. So also for you Bigfoot lovers, Austin Legg is a Bigfoot believer, so we're going to have to get together with him and record a whole nother podcast talking specifically about Bigfoot. man, we had a blast talking to Austin. Before we get into it, though, I just want to thank King's Camo for their sponsorship of this podcast. This podcast, as we say, is Concealed in Kings. Kings is doing some great things, always looking for ways to improve and expand their lineups. The XKG series is their top-of-the-line series, and they've added some new pieces recently, some of which I've been able to put to the test as I've been out shed hunting these past couple weekends. One of those pieces is the new XKG Elevation Quarter Zip Tee. It's a long sleeve shirt with a quarter zip on the front, like I said. They do come in the camel patterns, and they just added three new solid colors, two of which I have. I have the dark charcoal and olive drab, and they also have a really cool steel blue color. Just awesome. I'm going to have to pick that one up soon. It's got the polygene technology, which helps control and eliminate odors. Also comes with an awesome UPF 30 rating in the solid pieces. So you don't have to worry about getting burnt through your clothes from the sun. If you're white like me, that's something you definitely appreciate. These tees are kind of like a mesh. They're lightweight and breathable, and they feel good. They're comfortable. They look good. Definitely jump onto kingscamo.com and check them out, guys. Also, something I should mention is the King's XKG Ridge Pant. It's their lightweight, early type season pant. It comes in five styles, three camo pieces, the mountain shadow, the desert shadow, and the real tree, and also in two solid colors, the charcoal and the dark khaki. Hands down my favorite pant. They also are polygene treated. They are water resistant. You can actually spill your water out of your bottle on your pants and watch it bead up. They are four-way stretch, athletic fit. They move with you. They don't restrict you. They have plenty of pockets, but not too many that you're overwhelmed. They have just the right amount. They, like I said, they are just comfortable. They're durable. They're great. Check them out. You'll find out you'll be wearing them not only when you're hunting, but when you're going around town, on a date, fishing, you know, hiking, just whatever. You're going to be turning to those. Hopefully you guys are getting into some turkey hunting or some shed hunting yourselves. I'm getting kind of burnt out with shed hunting. It seems like I put a lot of miles in for not many sheds. I probably just need to pick some new spots, but anyway, when you shop at kingscamo.com, you can save yourself 15% off your entire purchase, including all sale items, if you'll just use our discount code. That discount code has changed slightly. It is now SAHN Outdoors, S-A-H-N, Outdoors, and you just punch that in when you're at kingscamo.com in your shopping cart. It gives you the option to put in a promo code. Just type that in. Guys, it'll save you money. It's one of the best discounts out there for Kings. It helps operate this podcast, and we just can't thank the fellas over at Kings enough. They have become truly great friends. They believe in us. We believe in them, and you're not going to be disappointed. Trust me. I used to be a little bit skeptical of Kings, but they've done some great things, and their gear is quality. It is affordable. It does perform, and it works. It's great. So definitely go check it out. Get yourself into some of these solids. They're all the new rage. And without further ado, here is Austin Legg of Eberly Stock.
Cool, man. We're ready to go.
Let's do it.
I'm ready. Let's rock and roll. So we got Austin Legg from Eberly Stock here.
Morning.
Morning. Good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
How's the show been?
It's been good. Man, most people probably don't even know we're at the show because we're kind of tucked back in that auxiliary hall, but it's been awesome. It really has been good. I think people are using the app a lot more probably than they have in the past.
Yeah.
You know, because it's super such helpful. A big expo. Yeah. And so when people find us, they're like actually seeking us out. And so they're really, you know, seeking us out, wanting to know more, and they're interested in what we're doing. So it's been a good show.
Yeah. Good.
It's good.
Better than last year, you were saying, right?
I really think it has been better than last year. Last year, we were like right in the middle of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's weird, like during the middle of the day, like during peak times, there's just so many people here that I think, you know, you kind of just get like corralled. you know, in the flow of traffic.
Yeah, you get caught in that current.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I actually, man, I'd have to look at the numbers, but I honestly think we're doing better this year than we have in the past.
Probably makes it nice, too, that you can hear you guys talking, sales and all that stuff in the back.
Yeah.
It's nice and quiet over there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been good. I'm pretty happy with how things are turning out.
Good.
For people that haven't attended the show this year, you're just listening to the podcast, this Hunt Expo has just, like, exploded. Mm-hmm. This year they've expanded like crazy. They've taken the whole exhibit hall, and you need, like, 2 full days to walk through this thing.
Yeah. At least,
just to see everything.
Yeah. 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 I mean, even the first time I came to the Expo, man, it's probably been, I bet this is my 5th year. And all this, you know, it's probably half of what it is now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool to see so many people. You know, I talked to people that flew in from the East Coast, from the South, people flying in from like Seattle, Portland.
Wow.
So it's awesome.
Yeah, I met a guy from South Carolina yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm like, what?
Exactly.
You flew here for this?
Like, is that in the US? Like, where is that?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so it's good.
It's a nice like networking place too. Like you get everyone involved in the hunting industry in some way. It seems like they all come to this thing, and it's great. That's why we decided to record podcasts here.
Yeah.
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 It's made it easy.
It does make it easy. The only thing is trying to keep content relevant so that we're not trying to space out 6 months of like podcasts, I guess, with 3 days. You know, by the time we listen to this, it might not be relevant.
Right. Yeah. Because I'm going to be
relevant.
My mind right now is like so focused on spring bear.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be like mid-spring bear season by the time we actually get to listen to this, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself to start off, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm from Boise, so I'm up in Idaho, and I've been there for a long time, man, and backcountry hunter guy, you know, only public land, and it's funny because people are always like, man, you bow hunt, you rifle hunt, you, you know, elk, deer, and I'm just like, honestly, I don't care. I just want to hunt.
It's all of it.
Yeah, I just want to hunt. And so I try and get out, you know, year-round. If it's bow season, I'll take my bow. If it's gun season, I'll take a gun, shotgun, rifle. Like, it doesn't matter. I just want to hunt.
Hunting's hunting.
I was in grad school. I went to Boise State. I was finished up my master's, and I'd been working in the outdoor industry for a handful of years and was, like, really looking to kind of get into a company where I could, you know, have a positive influence on like kind of the future. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to just like be a customer service guy. No, there's anything wrong with being customer service, but I really just was like, I want to kind of have something that I can help mold and shape and do some of that. So, there's a local company called Everly Stock, and I'd ran one of their backpacks for a number of years when I was younger. And, so I was finishing up grad school, gave them a call and I got hired. And
what did you go to grad school for?
I did a master's in business.
Okay.
And it was really funny because, so I got hired to be the sales director. And I got hired to be the sales director, and I'd been there for like 2 days. And just kind of through some conversations I had with the owners and things, he was like, do you want to be the marketing director? Because you're actually not great at sales, but like, you know, so I pretty much like 2 days into it, got like my dream job.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so it's been awesome. You know, really if I had to kind of sum up the whole thing of what we're trying to do is a lot of people were familiar with Everly Stock, you know, 8 to 10 years ago with some of our bigger, heavier, you know, things we were doing. And since then, a lot of people have gone in a different direction, which is cool. Like I totally get that. But now my job is I'm trying to turn people's eyes back towards us so they can see some of the improvement we've made since those old, you know, dragonflies and blue widows and those types of things. So
I was thinking when you're talking about people coming back to the booth this year versus last year and how business is better, it seems like.
Yeah.
I kind of think that's what's going on.
I think so too. And it's really exciting, man.
Yeah,
it's really
seeing
cool.
The change and seeing that these packs are relevant to what they are needing and wanting.
Yeah. And it's cool because like the comment I always hear is like, oh, Everly Stock, like, man, your stuff is bomb proof. It's just way too heavy. And I'll look at them and be like, you know what? Like in the past, I totally agree with you. They're way too heavy, but you need to come see what we're doing right now because like we have some stuff that's like 6,000 cubic inches that weighs just over 4 pounds. It's like, crazy. If that's too heavy, then I don't know. Like, I'm clearly
what do you need
something.
Here?
Yeah, you know, so it's been super cool. And so, you know, expos and trade shows and things like that are a good opportunity to just kind of show people, you know, this is some of the new stuff. And then it's just fun to meet, you know, meeting social media influencers and stuff like that is cool. But meeting just like normal, everyday hunters who go out and do it, you know, for themselves, by themselves, stuff like that. Like, I love that, man. I mm-hmm. love hearing people's stories and hearing what they
That's
do.
That's one of the funnest parts of this expo is, like, getting to hear people's stories.
Well, that's what we're doing the podcast for.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, that's why we like it.
Yeah. But we're not having some of those people that just stop by and we meet them off the street and That's they're true. Telling us their stories. Like, we got Zach's buck here in the booth. He shot it a couple of years ago down on the Henry Mountains, and this guy came by and he's like, I've watched that video. He's like, I want to see, like, where he shot it. It's interesting because I found some sheds off of a buck in that video. And we're like, what? He's like, yeah, 2 years worth. And so we start, Zach and that guy talked for, like, 45 minutes about it.
That's
you know?
Amazing.
And we wouldn't have had that opportunity had we not been here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Tell us about Eberly Stock and a little background, how it got started.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. So the owner was an Olympic biathlon. Olympic biathlete. So he competed in the biathlon. And back in the 80s, rifle stocks were pretty heavy and bulky. And so when he was on the Olympic biathlon team, he was kind of looking at the rifle stock. So biathlon is the one where you're skiing, and then you stop and you shoot, and then you ski and you shoot. Yeah. And he was like, I can make this lighter. And so he completely redesigned the biathlon rifle stock, and he took over 3 pounds off the gun. And by having a lighter rifle, they were able to ski faster, shoot faster. They were more accurate. When they fell, or if they fell, the rifle stock wouldn't break, you know, which would take you out of the race. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly, like, the Americans started doing really well in the biathlon. Well, when the Americans started doing well and people noticed that it was because of this new rifle stock, everybody wanted the new Eberly rifle stock. And so the company started out as the Eberly Stock Company because he was, you know, building rifle stocks. Mm-hmm. So that was back in the 80s, and then kind of fast forward through time a little bit. He was in the Air Force as a fighter pilot and doing, you know, some of that stuff and deploying overseas. And kind of after that, so he gets out and he's coming back to Idaho. He's like, man, why is it that when I go out and I go hunting, I'm having to fight this rifle sling or carry a rifle, but when I'm doing my biathlon, I can just have it, you know, on my back and it's all balanced and, you know, I don't have to worry about it. And so he kind of started working up the first prototypes for a backpack that could carry a hunting backpack that could carry a rifle. Mm-hmm. And now, so that was way back in the, you know, 90s. And then after September 11th happened, we went to war and snipers were being killed at a rate just, you know, substantially higher than anyone else. They were like, you know, public enemy number one. And so when he'd found that out, being an Air Force pilot, he kind of felt like he had this really intimate relationship with like troops on the ground, you know, because he's like constantly flying overhead and protecting those guys and stuff. So when he found out about the snipers, he decided to make the first like sniper specific backpack. And so snipers could put their long guns in their bags, cover them up, and then they could move from like point A to point B without people seeing this big, you know, 60-inch, you know, 50 cal and knowing it was a sniper. So that was kind of the early days of Eberly Stock and how we kind of branched into hunting backpacks and military backpacks and tactical packs. And so when he was trying to come up with a name, he was like, well, people already know me for the Eberly Stock Company. Mm-hmm. Why don't I just put it together? And it became Eberly Stock. So
cool.
Yep. And we still do the tactical military side, and then we have the, you know, the whole hunting side as well. And people always ask, like, what's bigger? And, it, you know, really it's about 50-50. Really it's about half of our business is one or the other. So
there's a lot of guys that are into tactical stuff that don't necessarily hunt. And,
and
there's a bunch of hunters.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I enjoy both of them equally, you know, because I love the hunting stories. I love talking hunting and hearing about people's pack outs and all that. But there's something to be said too about like talking to, you know, vets and people who came back from overseas and hearing their experiences with our bags. And like I get phone calls, I get phone calls constantly from snipers and like tier one operators and stuff of like, you know, your bag saved my life and, you know, this is why, whether it's like an IED going off and like we have bags at our shop that were basically destroyed by IEDs and the molten material is like lodged in the bag. So they're like, yeah, your bag like stopped this IED blast from basically, you know, blowing my body apart.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, stuff like, and we have some of those in our retail shop. And we have two of them. And so it's pretty cool just, like, you know, being a part of that, you know.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't directly because of me, mm-hmm. like, it's still cool that I get to have those conversations with people. So it's pretty, you know, it's a pretty special experience to do that.
That sounds like it. Do you guys contract with the military?
So we don't have like, big, large-scale contracts, you know. It's like we're probably never going to outfit, like, big army. But we do a ton of little stuff. So, like, at one point... the entire Marine Recon snipers, they all, you know, got a new gunslinger backpack when they graduated sniper school.
Oh, cool.
You know, SEAL teams, Rangers, Deltas, all those guys, all the weird three-letter agencies,
yeah.
like all those guys. We placed some pretty cool orders with those guys, too. And so, yeah, it's it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool when you every once in a while people will like tell you some of the things they use them for,
yeah.
and I'm sitting there just like with my eyes open, my jaw, and you know, just kind of like, you guys do that?
You know?
I'm like, this is pretty cool. So yeah, it's pretty fun.
That's cool to be involved with a product and yeah, see like the life of yeah. that product, like where it goes, what yeah. it does.
Well, it's interesting because so much stuff goes out the door. And we often forget, like I know especially me, so much stuff goes out the door and then you just kind of forget about it. But
yeah.
you don't realize like every single backpack is going to go somewhere in the world and go on some crazy adventure.
Right.
And when you're sending out, you know, the volume that we do, it's like you're going to get some pretty wild stories out, you know, from those backpacks. And, you know, whether it's like Secret Service or FBI, DEA, like there's some wild ones out
yeah.
there. It's pretty cool, yeah.
That makes me feel cool about having Eberly stock stuff.
Yeah.
Just knowing that, like, this switchblade here I'm running every
yeah.
day. I take this every day now. I joke it's my man purse. But
yeah.
It's got all my stuff in it, you know?
It's a good one.
But just knowing that other people are out there doing
yeah.
awesome stuff with bags like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just makes me feel cool.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's pretty fun. And I it's fun because we're still actually a relatively small company. I think people
yeah.
think of us as being, like, this massive... You know, no, we're family owned. You know, the owner still comes in every single day and, you know, he probably works 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
And we're a small company. And so it's like, yeah, I'm the marketing director, but still, if you call, like, there's a good chance I'll answer the phone. You know, there's
yeah.
a good chance the owner could answer the phone.
That's
you know,
pretty cool.
We all pitch in and do product design. We all, you know, do product testing. And so it's pretty cool to be able to not just have a job where I'm like stuck in an office and I only get to do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's we get to be like a jack of all trades, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I really enjoy looking at something like, you know, this backpack and being able to say like, yeah, you know, I actually helped design that.
This feature on here
yeah,
is
and
my
for people,
input.
You know, people like you who are like, yeah, I carry
yeah.
that every day.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to be like, yeah, you know, it was, that's what we designed it for, is for guys
yeah.
to use it as a gym bag or a truck bag or a EDC bag. And
yeah.
so, yeah, that's cool.
So I'm going to talk about, you just said everybody kind of pitches in on design and stuff.
Yeah.
I spoke to you a little bit about that yesterday, but you're busy and running the booth by yourself, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so everyone's pitching in and designing all these bags. What are some of the things that you guys are looking for, and how do you guys sort of brainstorm on what
yeah.
a bag needs and what needs to change on a bag.
Yeah, what does that design session, brainstorming session look like?
Yeah, so a lot of it starts out as sketches. You know, so clothing in particular, we can talk about clothing in particular just because that one's still pretty fresh. So
yeah.
designing clothing is very difficult.
So
and,
real quick.
Yeah.
The clothing line is new.
It's new, yeah. It's in the last six months.
Last
yeah.
like 6 months.
Yeah.
So everyone who doesn't know, Everly
yeah.
Stock has a clothing line.
Yeah, technical
solids
apparel.
And camos.
Yeah, yeah.
And how many camos do you have?
We have two patterns that are out right now in our clothing, and then we'll be launching a third that's more of like a sagebrush kind of, so it has more of that you know, sagebrushy color, more of like an open desert type color. So,
cool.
Yeah. So, you know, when product design in that, I mean, go back to literally step one. And step one is we're designing clothing. What pieces do you need to have like an essential kit to go out and be a backcountry hunter? And then it's okay. Identify those pieces. Boom, 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 boom. And you could easily say, oh, there's like 15 pieces. Like, no. Like, what's the essential stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? You need a base layer, a layer on top of that, a mid layer, an outer layer, a rain jacket, pair of pants. You know? You right. can narrow it down. And so once we got it narrowed down, we kind of started identifying, like, what features have to go into, you know, a solid pair of pants? Like, what do we need? And then you start kind of listing out those features and then start sketching. And so a lot of people ask us, like, oh, who did all your design? Like, who'd you send that off to? It's like, no, we did it ourselves. And the reason we did it ourselves is because we're all, like, public land backcountry hunters, right? And so we didn't want it to go out to some guy in San Francisco who
never steps foot in the woods.
Who draws up some, like, Gucci pair of pants. And I'm like, hey, bro. Like,
never been hunting elk in a snowstorm.
Yeah. And so that was the idea, is we wanted to do it all ourselves so we can make sure it was done in a way that would actually benefit, you know, people using it.
Right.
So we sketched everything out, and then, you know, a prototype comes back, and, like, some of our first prototypes, they were so bad I like couldn't even fit my calf in the leg hole, you know, you'd like go to put it on, you're like, all right, here we go, back to the drawing board. And it's a long, expensive process.
I can imagine.
And then even once you get a workable prototype, you know, then you haven't even tested it at that point,
right?
So then you have all the time of testing and making sure materials hold up, and you know, it actually is water resistant, and it actually is durable, and it is four-way stretch and all those things. And so that's a long process. We were in that process for about a year, and most things went through about six prototypes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was a very long process. But, you know, the cool thing about it is everyone involved's voice was heard, like, at the same level as if it was the owner saying it, you know, where we took everyone into consideration. And so, yeah, being a part of something like that is really what makes it just awesome.
Do you guys take any client, like, customer feedback and try to, like, work on your next backpack and incorporate some of those features? Like,
totally.
You'd probably want a pretty big majority of the same request, right? You're not just tailoring it to one person.
Yeah,
But you're like, hey, yeah, we've had a lot influx of people wanting somewhere to put their spotting scope or what have you.
Yep, absolutely. It's funny because, like, you get the emails and phone calls of individuals who are just kind of like, if you did this, you would sell a million of these. And, you know, I hear that all the time.
So you would buy one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then 999,000 of your friends.
You know, this might be perfect for you.
Yeah.
And that's great for what you do. But there's a lot of people out there in a big market. But usually, you know, as far as feedback goes, We do actually kind of listen to all those things and look into it. And if it's something that we know is like, yeah, this is a problem, like this spotting scope pocket isn't deep enough or whatever, like that's a really easy fix, and we'll fix those things like almost right away. But sometimes we actually just don't, like, we don't see everything, or we can't catch everything.
Right.
And we actually had an experience at the expo. So one of our bag systems is, like, completely modular, right? So you have the main frame or the carrier frame, and then you can put a bag on over the top of it and swap that out for a different bag. And there's, like, a 100 different options.
Little accessories and pouches and things you can... Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a way to have the main frame, put a bag on it, and then you can take the load lifter straps off the main frame and put them on the bag that's on the pack. And that helps kind of keep the bag itself nice and high and, you know, keep a good angle on the load lifters. Well, we'd been doing it the same way for a couple of years, never really thought much of it. Well, the reality is when you're taking those load lifter straps off, it's kind of difficult to pull them through the buckle. You really have to, like, force them, and you feel like you're going to break something. We've just always done it that way, so we didn't think anything of it. Some guy walks into the expo booth very first day, and he shows us a picture of a buckle, and he goes, hey, if you just use this buckle, all you'd have to do is clip it, unclip it, clip it to the bag, tighten it down, and you're done in, like, less than 5 seconds. And we all looked at it, and it was like, light bulb goes off, you know? We're just like, oh, Well, yeah, okay, we're doing that. And so, yeah, you know, we'll get some in, we'll test it, yeah, make sure it's that easy, make sure it's durable, and then, yeah, we'll start implementing that. But it just took someone's outside perspective to say, right, like, hey, idiots, like,
yeah, that's this, interesting. You know? You guys are all together kind of, yeah, figuring out the way it works, and yeah, someone totally different has no idea how you, yeah, designed it to work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the way, and honestly, sometimes the way we design stuff, you know, might not be the best way. And so it's nice to have that outside perspective, and we listen to it when we can. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, you know, you might get 1,000 suggestions and listen to 10% of them.
Right.
You know,
right,
you just can't listen to all of them.
Right.
We try to.
So. On the flip side of that example you just gave, do you ever get someone come in and say, hey, you should do this instead, but then there's a specific reason that you've decided to do it the way you are doing?
Yeah, that actually happens quite a bit. And usually it's because people are like really honed in on that one thing and missing like a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And so when you explain to somebody, like, you know, I usually tend to say, like, I totally get what you're saying because I had that same thought.
Right.
But did you realize this, or did you notice this? And then when you show them, yeah, you show them that bigger picture, and it's just kind of like, oh, that's why you guys do that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's cool because, you know, then they're getting, you know, yeah, kind of more into it. They're like, oh, mm-hmm, this is way more modular or way more adaptable than I expected. So,
yeah. Like, so that happens quite a bit. Something they were missing.
Yeah, that happens, sure, quite a bit.
Now, where do most of your sales generate through? Do you do mostly online, through retailers? I know you guys recently opened up your retail store, mm-hmm, in Idaho.
Yeah. Yep. So Boise has a big Everly Stock retail store. So most of our sales right now, let's see, the biggest would come through like our bigger retailers. So like Sportsman's Warehouse, Cabela's, you know, soon, Bass Pro Shop, Scheels.
I imagine people come in and get hands-on gear that way.
Yeah. And that's what it is, you know, we get a ton of phone calls from people on the East Coast and the South, Midwest, and they're like, love your stuff, follow you on Instagram, blah, blah, blah. Like, but I actually want to be able to touch something before I spend $400 on it. And I'm like, I totally get that because I'm the same way.
Yeah, right.
And then I'll just like hop on and be like, oh, you know what? There's a Cabela's in Des Moines, Iowa. It's like 30 minutes from you. Head over there and, you know, check out our stuff. So
that's cool.
That's the biggest, but I think it would not surprise me if that changes just in the kind of the course of the next 5 years or so. We're growing very fast on Amazon, and we're growing very fast on our website. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is. It just kind of seems, I know people, you know, online shopping is so easy. And I think the other aspect of it is, social media like really is a powerful tool if you use it right.
Yeah.
And so it's really easy for people to like see something and they're like, man, I've been seeing this Switchblade backpack and, you know, posts nonstop. And then, you know, they hit the shop now link and it takes them to the website and then you add it to your cart and you went from looking at a picture on social media to checking out in less than a minute.
Yeah.
And, there's something to be said for that. Right. So, yeah. So I think it's going to change.
I know when I was looking at the Switchblade, I was actually looking at a bunch of the different EDC style bags you guys have, like the Little Trick and some other stuff.
Yeah.
And I actually went on and watched a bunch of YouTube videos that you have done.
Yeah.
And then even some other reviews. There was one I even watched in some other language I don't understand.
Oh, yeah. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
That guy's awesome, though.
He is cool.
He's awesome.
And he gave a great review and or just like an overview of the bag, really.
Yeah.
And,
I can't understand them.
No.
But they're phenomenal reviews. I think he's like Filipino, if anybody
knows. But yeah, those guys have a bunch of content on there.
Yeah.
But so that's how I like to do things too. Is I like to see, like you're saying with social media, you can see other people using it, kind of see stuff in action, and then also just that breakdown of the bag.
Yeah.
I don't even have to go into the Sportsman's Warehouse anymore.
Yeah. Exactly.
I do still like to touch it if I can, mm-hmm, but this bag isn't in those stores,
right.
So those sorts of things help me make decisions and shop online.
Yeah. Yeah. So that I think that'll take over here in the next little bit.
Probably will.
What's a good, like, in your opinion, what's a good pack for someone to start out with that's looking to go for, you know, a couple days and hunt?
Yeah, so if just for, like, the average backcountry guy for a couple days, I really am pointing everyone in the direction of our modular system. So,
as Ian calls it, the backpack that's like the Legos.
The Lego backpack.
The Lego backpack. That's a perfect example.
Super customizable. You can put it together however you want.
It really is.
We were looking at those, from SHOT Show a couple years back?
Yeah.
And, I'd never used an Everly stock bag up to that point. Yeah. But I was just, like, this idea, like, mm-hmm. this is good. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do that.
Yeah, and so I would point people in the direction of, like, the mainframe, for example. And then basically it depends from there. Some guys like the style where they can just throw everything into a bag and then go from there. And then other guys want, like, tons of organization and pockets and don't like to just dump everything in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for, like, a 3 to 5 day hunt, there's a couple good options. You know, you could use a duffel bag or a dry bag. Or if you like the backpack style, you could use something like the little big top. It really just depends on what you like.
Yeah.
And that's the big advantage of that system is you can customize it to fit exactly what you're doing and exactly how you like to pack.
Right.
If you want to be like an ultralight guy, man, throw a dry bag on there. You're at 4 pounds and you can go for a week.
Yeah.
You know, and so it just kind of depends. But
that's
yeah.
the setup that I was running this last year is I had the dry bag. You made 2 different dry bags, right?
The large one right now. The large one will be coming out.
Oh, it's coming out.
Yeah. Okay. It's coming out soon.
So I have the, quote, small one.
The regular.
The regular size. Which is still huge, man.
It's still huge.
It's still massive.
Yeah. The new one is gigantic. We had some guys who were like, we're going for like 14-day sheep hunts and, you know, want to use your stuff because, you know, we don't want to be 2,000 miles away and have stuff break on us. And so we want to use Everly stock and... So what do you guys have that's like 10,000 cubic inches or something? I'm like, say what?
I feel like that's Zach for his weekend hunts.
Yeah. Like, that dude takes everything.
He's very caught up on his cubic inches.
Yeah.
I'm like, sometimes less is more, man.
Yeah, that's me.
That's the thing, like that dry bag. So that's what I ran this last year bow hunting, is I just threw camp into the dry bag.
Yeah.
Zip that to the mainframe.
Yeah.
And then just a couple bat wings for organizational stuff on the outside. Mm-hmm. Then we got to camp, just drop the dry bag.
Yep.
Don't have to worry about it at all.
Yep.
And then my bag compresses down to something nice and manageable for the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how everything detaches too. I bought a bunch of the small pouches because I got used to running hip pouches, you know, for calls or a rangefinder or whatever. And it's like sometimes I wanted that off of there if I was on a rifle hunt versus an archery hunt, because the way I carried my rifle, it would always get hung up on that and actually start like interfering with stuff. You know, it started driving me nuts. So I'm like, oh, I can just take that off. Get rid of it.
I know.
And it's like...
Or put two on one side or one on your vinyl harness or something.
So customizable.
Super.
We have like the same setup, but we run it differently.
Yeah, we run it slightly. Just so all the same pouches and everything, but just different places and super personal between the two bags, all the same pieces.
So here's another thing that's really cool. So like, you know, for years, people have just been like struggling with how do we... attach a pistol and, you know, run that. And I had two mountain lion encounters sub like 15 yards in the last 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm finally just like, screw it. Like, we're going to do it. Like, I'm sick of waiting for someone else to think of how to do it. We're going to think of how to do it. And, so we're just actually probably days away at this point from launching a pistol attachment that you can attach your holster to and have your and it's really cool because it sits super low profile, so it's not in the way of when you walk. Mm-hmm. It's very secure, so it's not going to kind of move and jostle around when you're hiking, but it's also going to be very accessible to where you can, you know, really quickly just like grab it, pull it, and use it if you need to. So
designing a holster or a holster attachment system, so I can run my personal holster.
Well, I'm not gonna
that
is
to
yet.
Be no to be determined.
But it's going to be very cool. I think it's going to do really well.
But that's made to attach to the pack.
Yeah.
And another...
to the belt on the pack.
Right. Yeah. And another awesome thing that you have is like that nose gunner bino harness. Yeah. You can also keep a smaller pistol right there on your chest.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you've ever listened to the Meat Eater podcast and they talk about that meat tree experience, all took off their protection.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they
felt safe to have...
pistol was on the bag.
Yep, and their bear spray.
And the bear spray.
So anyway.
Have that on you.
There is another option.
Yep. The vinyl harness off, so have it there. I will say, though, on that, I ran a little 9mm in that this year, and
it was actually kind of hard to get to.
It can be.
Yeah.
That's why we're – that's why, man.
There you go.
That's one of those things where it's like we have an okay option. Like, why don't we have a great option?
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is the great option. And it's all kind of coming about because, like I said, man, we use this stuff too.
Yeah.
And I don't love it being right here. I don't think it's great. So let's make something great. So yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to see that.
You got like the wheels spinning here.
Yeah, I think you guys will like it because I'm actually super excited. I went out and bought a new gun just to use it.
That's what that's all about.
My wife's not super excited, but
well, once I get the holster, I might have to go buy a new gun too.
That's it, man. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Sweet.
That's great. Yeah. Dude, so let's swing back to you a little bit.
Okay.
Here this last year, you did something that's pretty awesome. You got yourself a Guinness Book of World Record.
I did. Yeah. You know, it's been really funny because, like, I didn't think much of it at the time. Like, it was cool. I had a lot of fun. But, like, dude, like, every few minutes at the expo, people are like, that was so cool. Like, high-fiving me. I'm like, you saw that? You know, like, it's been.
Of course.
The reception of people has been super awesome, man. People
How did the idea
really
come
cool.
up? Like, what did you do first?
And then.
Yeah. What did I do? Okay, yeah. So what did I do?
What you did.
I broke the world record for the fastest 10K, so that's 6.2 miles, with a 100-pound backpack.
Does it get more specific than that? Like, people do the fastest 10K with, like, a 5-pound backpack?
The only other one with a 10K, I think, was, I think there's a 20-pound one.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah. And I actually kind of thought about going after that one, too.
Sounds way better.
I saw the, after I did the 100K, or the 100-pound one, I was like, well, that sucked. So I won't do that again. But and I was like, oh, 20-pound. And the time was actually, like, not super great. And I was like, man, I could probably beat that one. But that's really how the whole thing got started in the first place was, you know, I'm sitting in the office one day, and a guy I was sharing an office with got an email. And he's like, dude, check this out. You know, this girl from Canada just broke the world record for the fastest 10K with a 100-pound backpack. And I'm like, well, that's cool. And he sends me the pictures, and she was using a mainframe. And I was like, wow, she used a mainframe. So it's cool because there's all these awesome pictures of her, you know. Yeah. And then kind of the wheels start turning, you know. And I'm like, well, I wonder what the male record is. And so I get on, I look it up, and I'm such a, gosh, I'm like such a type A competitive personality that I look it up, and it's like an hour and 30 minutes or something. And I'm like, I could beat that. I could beat that right now, you know, like, and that's, that honestly was just kind of my attitude. It was, I just got done packing a spring bear out of the mountain. So it was about a year ago. And I was like, man, my legs are in good shape. My lungs are in great shape. Like, I can do this. And I got signed up, you know, cause you actually have to apply to break a record.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite a process. There's a lot that goes into that. And so I get approved, and my very first time going out to run was July 4th, so it's like the hottest day of the year.
This last year?
Yeah. It was July 4th, and it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was probably like 103, 104.
Wow.
I got my 100-pound pack on. I'm like, I'm going to break this record right now. And then, like, on my actual date where, you know, I'm going to just crush this thing. And so I get out and start running. I'm, like, literally on the verge of, like, collapsing and passing out because I was just, dude, I was so ill prepared.
Jeez.
Like, you put 100 pounds on and walk around with it, that's one thing, but to actually, like, be running is so hard on your body, dude. Like, just the constant jarring on your knees and hips and ankles and your spine and your neck and everything. And maybe you can go do it for like a mile or two, but six is like, it was brutal. And so after that first run, I think the first run I ended up going about maybe two, maybe like two and a half, and I was on like a 14 or 15 minute pace, and I got home and I was just so beat, and I was really like, that was the
what
only
am I
time
doing?
Where I was like, what am I doing?
Oh my gosh.
And it probably took me like an hour of like some serious self-reflection of being like, okay, Austin, if you're going to do this, you have to commit, and like, this is the focus. If you're not going to do this, I hadn't told anybody about it at this point, right? So I was like, if I'm not going to do this, I can still get out of it, and no one's going to, like, call me a quitter or anything, you know? and so for about an hour, I'm, like, jostling with that. And finally, I was like, you know what? I was like, it's not every day you get to try and break a world record.
Yeah.
I'm not a I'm not a quitter. I'm freaking so competitive. Like, I'm going to do it. And from that day on, man, it was like 100% of my attention was on doing it. And so, yeah, I ended up breaking it by like 17 minutes. So
that's awesome. What was your time?
It was 67 minutes.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Were you a runner before you signed up?
Not even close, man. Not even close. Like, I think at the time when I started training,
just
I was
that
like,
competitive edge. Yeah, exactly. Like, you're like,
I was like, I was probably like 220 pounds, and which is like way too heavy to do that, you know. And I'd maybe ran 6 miles like in one time, maybe like 4 or 5 times my whole life. Like, I'm not a runner.
Yeah.
But a pack mule? Like, yeah, you can call me a pack mule, I guess.
Sure, I'll hike.
So, yeah, man, it was an awesome opportunity. And just had a ton of support. And you did a lot of training. And it was awesome. I'm really glad I did it. Yeah.
That is awesome.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah. You made a comment about, like, on to the next thing when you were done.
Yeah.
Do you have the next thing?
I'm on to the next thing right now, yeah. I think my end goal is going to be, I don't know, I just always have something I'm wanting to do. I think the next big thing I'm going to do will be an Ironman this year.
A full-on Ironman?
Yeah.
You're not going to start with a half?
No.
Good for you.
Yeah.
He's competitive.
I got some buddies who are partially competitive. They do like half marathons and half Ironmans, and they brag about it.
Yeah. Like, well, you know there's people out there right now who are going to be like, this guy's an idiot. And it's like, yeah, you're probably right. But, no, so, like, I'll do Roby Creek. So sign-ups for Roby Creek are actually tomorrow. That's, like, the toughest half marathon in the Northwest. So I'll do that and then train through the summer and then do my goal is to do the Ironman up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, later this year. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is that an open water swim?
Yep. Yep, up in Lake Coeur d'Alene.
In the lake.
Is it freezing up there?
Yeah.
And it's pretty cold north. Water.
Yeah. Far north.
The whole thing is like comical to me because I'm just like, I'm such an idiot. But it's just, man, it's like I'm just, you know, we're just getting older.
Yeah.
You know, it's like every year that goes by is just another year of getting older and missing opportunities. And a couple years ago, I think that kind of started setting in. And I was like, I need to take advantage of every opportunity because someday there's going to be a day where I'm too like busted up to be able to do some of these things. And hopefully that's at like 75 or something.
Right. But, yeah.
Don't do any more 100-pound 10Ks.
Right? Well, the funny thing is I was on Fox News the other day and I'm scrolling down through everything and I see man breaks world record for fastest marathon with a 100-pound backpack. And I'm like, Austin, don't even open this article. And of course I opened the article and the guy's time was like 7.5 hours or something like that. And I'm like, doing the math, you know, and like, oh, I could do that. And then I'm like, I've never even ran a marathon. Like, I can't do this.
We'll see after you do the Ironman.
I probably should. Like, I do need to like tone it down a little bit. But it's fun. Like, a lot of people look at that as being like my own wife like gives me a hard time because she's like, you are way too arrogant like about like your self confidence in it. But like the reality is I don't think it's that. And maybe that's just because it's me, but like, what I think it is we never push ourselves as far as we actually can.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And until you kind of decide like, okay, I have to test myself and push myself and really find out like what I'm made of. Like, you're not going to, right? You're not just going to do that on your own. And so when I'm out here like telling my wife, like, yeah, I'm going to break this Guinness World Record and I know I'm going to do it. Like there. Mm-hmm. People ask me, like, how confident were you that you were going to break it come race day? And I was like, I never had a doubt. Like, I honestly went into that 100% sure. 100%. I had no doubt. And, like, you can call that whatever you want. You can call it arrogance or cockiness or whatever. But, like, the fact is, like, no, I just knew, like, I could push myself farther than what that record was.
It's 90% mental,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, man.
So it comes from a place of, like, not saying, like, oh, this is easy.
Yeah.
I'm doing this because it's easy and I know I can do it, but because you know you can push past whatever plateaus you
have. Exactly.
Controlling your mind.
Yeah, like, exactly.
there's something to be said about that. Like, coming up with this goal that seems so unachievable to the majority of people.
Yeah.
And, like, crushing it. Like, there's something satisfying about it.
And I'm such an average dude. Like, I'm not super strong. I'm not super fit. I'm not a runner. I'm not a great hunter. Like, I'm not really great at anything. I'm just, like,
jack of all trades,
dude, you know? And so that's why I just kind of want to, you know, keep finding new things that I can grow into and push myself into. Because after, so that was in September of 2018, and hunting season right after that, like in October, November, dude, I was like, oh, there's a mountain over there. I want to go see what's up there, you know, and like ran up there because, in, you know, 5 years prior, it would be like, oh, there's a mountain over there, or there's like a lower draw over here that I could hike downhill
to. Beautiful looking meadow.
You know what I mean?
Way.
Yeah. And so it's really kind of changing my outlook and perspective on everything.
It's like what you can do now versus what you maybe had mental block on before.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
That's rad. Maybe Thank we you. Should do that. We've been running. Well,
I am
running
not running
mile.
With a pack that heavy.
McKay's been running a mile every day in the gym.
I hate running.
Me too.
And I have terrible knees and ankles. And like it's just, it sucks.
Yeah.
Growing up, I had asthma. I had all the excuses, right?
Yeah.
I hate it. But I'm like, man, I want to be able to like go harder and farther on the mountain. I've been there in both positions where I've been in pretty good shape and where I haven't been in that great of shape.
Yeah.
And being able to like look at something and not even think about whether I'm going to go in there after an animal versus like, is it worth it? Like, no, I want to be able to just go, like not second guess myself.
Yeah. It'd be nice to have that, just get to that point where, where you were saying, you just like, oh, I want to go there.
It's going to suck. I know I can do it.
Yeah.
You can go.
Yeah. It's like once you turn the corner into this like never quitting mentality, suddenly I feel like you open up this like whole new possibility of things.
Yeah.
And it's not just fitness. It's not just hunting. It's kind of just like everything.
Life.
Where you're just like, oh, that seems pretty hard, but I'm also pretty tough. Like I also have a lot of grit, you know, like I can do this. And it's like, my wife's like, Austin, you're talking about reading a book. I'm like, I know books are hard.
I know, but
it's only three chapters.
Words
but
are big and they're hard, but I can read this, y'all. It really, like, I mean, seriously, though, it's just, it's everything. So,
yeah.
I found myself doing, like, I've been reading the David Goggins book.
I was going to bring him up.
He's the man.
I know.
He's the man.
He's the man. But even just, like, reading the book, you know, I'm getting tired. Eyes are getting heavy. You know, I want to just go to sleep. Like, okay, one more page. You know, and then he says something on that page, you're just like, oh, I'm fired up. One more page, you know, just like that. One more step, one more mile, one more whatever.
Who's going to carry the boat?
Yeah, I'm screaming that to myself as I'm reading in bed. Yeah.
Dude, it was like my second week of committing to this running a mile in the gym every day thing, and I was like, a mile in, it was like, well, I'll go for a mile and a half, and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I got to a mile and a half, and I'm like, ready to quit. I'm like, that wasn't so bad. Who's going to carry the boat, David? I was like, ran 3.5 miles. I don't know if I've ever done that in my life. It felt so good. Like, I was like, I beat myself.
You beat
right
yourself.
There. I beat myself. I beat who I walked in the gym as.
So the funny thing, too, is like, and I'll just use Instagram because whatever. People look at Instagram like it's reality and, you know, whatever. But you won't see any of that on my Instagram, right? You won't see. And I'm not knocking people to do it, but you won't see me like posting workouts, posting, you know, me doing this or that, or, you know, I do very, very little of that because that is like my personal battle. You know what I mean? It's like,
that makes
it's your private.
Yeah. And I don't want like the record when it came down to it towards the end, I shared it with everybody. You know, I posted, we talked about it and it was cool, but all the like suffering and crap that I went through and like the all that pain and all that, like I didn't share that with anybody because I wanted it to be like for me, kind of all, you know, it's easy when other people are there to lift you up, I guess, but when you're kind of like on your own suffering through something, like that's really when you find out like, man, like just how tough am I, like you know, and that's kind of carried over, I think. And so that's something that, like, I'd encourage, I think, everybody to do is, you know, don't just, like, dump your whole life for everybody to see.
Yeah.
Like, keep some things private that you can work on and, like, really grow for yourself. And I found that to be a big benefit for me doing that.
Did you document that in any way, like for you? Like,
I have some pretty cool like videos and stuff that that we took and that are like just private stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah,
because I think that's important too. Like to because your memory kind of fades, right?
It does.
And if you can have something at least that you wrote down in the moment or video, I'm liking video and photos for sure. And,
Dude!
But putting some words down, like 10 years from now, you can go back and be like have that reflection,
a little time capsule for yourself.
Yeah, because I mean, like people see. You know, having a Guinness World Record, right? And they're like, "Hey, that's so cool. I want to do something like that." Or the other one is I get a ton of DMs all the time of people being like, "I'm going to smash your record. Like I'm going to break it. I'm like, I want people to." Like that's part of it. I like wanted to motivate people. But the other part of it is I'm kind of like, "Hey, like don't just tell me about it, dude. Go out and do it."
Do it, yeah.
You know, like don't tell me you're going to smash it. Go smash it.
Yeah. Smash it. Show me.
And that's been pretty fun too is seeing people get excited and get motivated and you know, kind of rally. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Do you have fun being as competitive as you are? Like is that just a fun thing or are you if someone breaks your record, are you going to be like, "Oh, heck no, man."
No, it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. If one of you guys went out and broke it, I would be your number one fan. And that's like the honest truth.
I'd be my number one fan too if I beat that record. Nope.
No, I think it's cool because I'm not trying to say like I've moved on to the next thing, but there's just a lot I want to do, and so like I'm not dwelling on it. I'm not like gonna pat myself on the back, and I'm ready to move on. I want to do the Ironman thing, and there's so many just cool challenges out there, and.
That's awesome.
Looking for the next one.
So. Cool. When you were doing moving back to bags, I guess a little bit, but when you were doing this record, did you kind of use the Everly Stock bags and use this whole experience as like some product testing?
Yeah. I mean, and that was an awesome part of it too. Is we just come out with a new frame system, and I was like, man, what better way to test the durability of something than to put 100 pounds in it and run for, you know, what is it, like 4.5 months? And so I did that, and it was cool, too, because I really had the entire Everly Stock product line at my disposal.
Right.
And so I think, you know, for anyone out there who wants to start rucking or running or anything, like, let me know, because I think I have it pretty well figured out in our product line. But what I used was awesome, man. I used that carrier frame. I used a spike duffel. And then just the carrier frame has this really cool piece of webbing, an auxiliary panel that can tighten down very tight. Mm-hmm. And so I put sandbags inside that duffel bag and then cinched everything down really tight. And, man, I don't know if you can't really make 100 pounds lighter, but you sure can make it feel better.
So it's not jostling around.
And it felt pretty dang good.
Was that pretty key, is having the load locked super tight?
Yeah, because, you know, when you're thinking about running, like every step where the weight is jostling from side to side, you're just firing off, you know, different core stabilizing muscles. And those muscles don't get worked very often on a day-to-day basis, and so they get tired pretty quick. Yeah. And so being able to keep it, you know, as tight to my core and stable as possible really made a big difference.
Did any changes to the bag come from doing this and experimenting with keeping that weight centered and tight? Or was it just like what you had was already good? Just figured
everything
out how to use
I used was stock stuff, so nothing was altered. And
not even post record, you were like, okay, if this would have been different, this would be better.
It was all stock.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
If I would have ate one more banana, that would have been better.
It was all stock, man. No, I don't think I would have changed anything, honestly. Even if I wasn't working at Everly Stock, if I was working just out in the open, you know, free market, I don't think I would have used anything different. I have yet to see somebody with weight on their back running that looked more stable and more comfortable than what I did. So
I
would tell anybody to come look at that. Yeah,
and
100 pounds is a lot.
It is a lot, man.
That much running.
Me looking at that experience, it's like if you can put it through running for that long, like that's going to be pretty dang great on the mountain.
Yeah,
because
you're
going to have a 100 pound pack maybe if you're packing an animal in your camp out. Like, but other than that, you're maybe 60% of that at times, and it's going to be locked and.
Well, and hiking out and down or even hiking up is far different stress on the bag than running with it.
Very, very different. Very different. And we recognize that. Like, I totally recognize that. And but, you know, I didn't have a single thread or piece of stitching start popping out, you know, with all of that tension and stress. And so I'm pretty confident in what we do.
I am, too.
I'd recommend it to anybody, man.
I really like – there's a video that another company put out about – tearing bags apart.
Yeah, I
remember called
that.
You guys out.
I love
the response,
dying,
man.
I was laughing so hard.
I was too. I couldn't take it serious. And then your guys' rebuttal video was amazing.
Yeah, thank you. We can talk about that for a second. I mean, their video has like 15,000 views, so I'm sure a handful of people saw it. So, yeah, some guys made a video of a pack test, and it was kind of funny because...
That was a quote-unquote
pack
test.
Yeah, it was a quote-unquote pack test because it was kind of silly.
It was, like, so biased and no control. And like.
Well, the funny thing is, so that bag in particular, we designed for the Italian Special Forces. The Italian Special Forces, you know, contacted us, and they were like, we want a very specific bag. We want it to look like this because we're hiking in these, like, Alps and, you know, these insanely steep mountains, and we're out for who knows how long, and we're doing all these crazy things, and their packs are super, super heavy. And so we built this like just how they wanted it. And it's been a very successful bag for us. It's called the V90 Battleship. It is also a very heavy, it's a heavy bag. It weighs like 8 pounds.
Yeah.
That's what those guys wanted. Yeah. Right? It wasn't like we were trying to make an ultralight like thing. This is what these guys wanted. They're Italian Special Forces. Well, the pack
did they know they could go lighter?
The Italians?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This
We're doing the same. We have another, we have a client right now in Western Europe, and we're going through the exact same thing where they have this big, massive frame and big, massive pack and everything. And we're looking at this thing like, man, this thing is like big and heavy and we can cut the weight down in half. And like, no, this is what you need. And we're like, okay, like that's what you guys want. So, I mean, here we are again, right? Well, anyway, so those guys took this bag and they're like, this is Everly Stock's like ultralight hunting system. And we're like, no, it's not. And so they dogged us pretty hard. And, you know, they took the frame apart and the guy laid on it and broke it in half and all this crazy stuff. He's like ripping pockets apart and just like being ridiculous. And I'm watching this just like, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah. And being as competitive as I am, I was like, I called the owner up and I'm like, hey, I need you to come in like, right now. And he's like, why? I'm like, come in right now. Like, I have to show you something, and then we're going to make a plan. And so I show it to him, and I'm like, we're making a rebuttal video. And this is all within, like, it gets uploaded.
Yeah, you guys did it quick.
I get like, 100 text messages of, like, dude, what the heck just happened?
You're like, and not like, even answer him. Hang
dude,
on,
it
wait
was
for
like
the video.
That same afternoon, we're making this video.
Dude, that's awesome.
And so we took a brand new V90 battleship, took it right out of the plastic, totally stock, put it on a kind of frame that was, it's kind of shaped to a human back. And so it's just held up with the belt and the shoulder harness. And then we're like, okay. This is how confident we are in our stuff. Like live here right now on Instagram Live and, you know, making this video, we're going to load test it and see how much it can really hold.
Well, you guys attached that little mannequin thing to a forklift.
To a forklift, yeah.
Because you knew you were going to tip over anything
else. You can't put it on a human. Like, you're going to collapse the guy. And so we had to put it on a forklift. And so we had some guys on a loading dock with 60-pound sandbags, and they're just loading them and loading them and loading them. And we finally get to 720 pounds, and the only thing that broke was a single ladder lock buckle on the harness. Like a 25-millimeter buckle is the only thing that broke.
Yeah. Not a stitch.
Not a stitch.
No seams.
Nothing. I mean, we
and who could ever carry 700 pounds?
It's stupid. And so we put the – we after that happens, we take the frame out. The frame is in perfect condition, not a single bend. We put the – we replaced the load lift – the ladder lock buckles that broke, and the bag is literally brand new now. We could sell it if we like. We could put it back in the plastic and sell it. And
Do you have it on display?
No,
like bragging. This is the bag, bro.
I've actually had people offer to buy it. If you look at our YouTube comments,
really?
There's like so many people like, I want to buy this exact bag. But I mean, that's just a testament as to like what we're doing, and the quality and durability of what we make. And so many people saw.
We'll take a break during these.
No worries.
Yeah, it's got really low.
Yeah, they were a pain to listen through last year.
Yeah.
Editing through this, so
yeah, it's all good.
Sorry, man.
There we go. Oh,
they're announcing everything for a minute, aren't they? What time we got? 10:25. What time do you got to run?
Just be over. Probably pretty soon.
Yeah. If this doesn't go too long, we'll try and wrap up.
Yeah.
Right after this.
But cool.
Yeah.
No, this has been good, you guys. This is fun.
No, it's awesome. We're really, really loving the Lego bag.
Yeah.
The Lego bag.
And then really the switchblade. Now
this guy.
I almost got this color.
I love this one.
It is a cool color. It was like, this was in the cart, like, because I made a cart on the online first, you know, and I was going to just type it all out and order it from you. And this was the color I picked out.
Yeah.
And the last second, I was like,
Did you get
literally the last
was
second.
Was it Coyote?
The, that's my bag.
Driver.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. So I can't remember what we call it, that color. Everything I have is that
dry
color.
Earth?
Dry earth,
yeah.
You want to say flat earth.
Yeah.
Dry earth. Yeah. No, but that green's good looking, man.
Yeah, man.
Did you guys sell patches? How did you get a patch?
we have some, like, prototypes, but they're not, like, mass market yet.
Yeah.
But it's, like, on my to-do list. Gotcha. It has been for, like, 6 months.
Okay. Wait. Sounds like the announcements are done.
Yeah.
We're
Oh yeah. So we make this rebuttal video, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Breaks 720 pounds. The response has been awesome, right? Our video has way fewer views. I think it maybe has like 3,000 views or something, but it's really cool because all the comments has a ton of comments of people like, saw the video from these guys.
Yeah.
Saw that you guys made a rebuttal, and so I watched this, and this is so awesome. I'm so glad you guys did it. You know, so that's really cool. It's nice that people kind of see through some of that.
I thought it was cool.
Some of that garbage. Well,
I called Ian right up, and I was like, "Have you seen this video?" He's like, "No." I'm like, "Okay, watch it. Call me back." And we're talking. I'm like, "Dude, like, the idea is cool to test some bags, but like, do it in a control. Like, have." Yeah, you couldn't do it the way they did it, like, to make it a fair game or whatever. And I was like, and plus, like, you're taking, when they broke the frame, I'm like, you're taking something that's designed to have forces applied in certain places, and you take it out and take the rigidity out of the way it's designed to function, and then, okay,
and you
can do that with anything, any structure. If you're not, if you're applying force in the places it's not designed to have force, obviously, it's going to fit.
I mean, if you hit a Prius with a semi-truck, it's going to collapse. You know? It's like things aren't just made to withstand, like, you know, bears laying on them. but it was really cool,
that
man.
Was great.
And I even contacted those guys and was like, I'm not asking you to take it down. I'm just asking you guys to, like, play fair with us, you know. Because I'm pretty confident that we could have beat everyone on that stage. Just play fair with us. Yeah, next time you guys are going to do that, give me a call. Tell me what you're doing.
Yeah, test some comparable products.
And then I'll tell you. I'll be like,
test
the mainframe with some bowing pouches.
At least get the right specs on the bag.
Exactly.
Don't claim that it's a lightweight system and then say, oh, it's 8 pounds. How can that be lightweight? Yeah.
Be like, oh, this is the Italian Special Forces bag that they designed. So
say what it is.
It's all good, man. I moved past that.
Yeah.
But
it was the perfect response. I thought it was just like firm and direct, like, whatever, you can
very
think what
sport,
you want,
though.
But like, let us show you.
Yeah,
like, come to the horse's mouth. Like,
yeah, I'm sure that's not the last time we'll do that either.
No,
you know?
I hope not. It's cool.
It's right?
Good.
Yeah, I want to see more.
Yeah,
Kate and I have been talking about trying to even do stuff like that with all the gear we use.
Yeah, yep.
You should.
We've got some ideas in the works. So,
well, you know a guy who can help you.
I know
so.
A guy.
Sweet.
Yeah, cool, do man. It. I love it, man. People want to see that stuff.
Yeah, so. They really do. They really do. They look to YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the day of YouTube, the day of videos. And they you can read about things, you can see pictures, you can go touch it. But, like, without experiencing it or having someone show you what it's capable of, like, that is a huge selling point.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, that's how I shop online. I want to find all the good reviews and all the good overviews and reviews.
Yeah.
But, cool, man.
You guys, that was awesome.
Well, we want to let you get back to the booth. It's the last day.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on. But appreciate you taking the time, man, to come and talk. We've wanted to do this for a while.
Yeah. Like, I think since like last Expo.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really we have.
Yeah.
But like, it's, man, not doing this for a living. It's things get tough. That's why we had the space. So,
right.
You guys can go check out these packs, eberlystock.com. Reach out to Austin Legg on social media. You can DM the Eberly Stock page or Austin personally. I know he'll respond to you. Yep. You can reach out to us with any questions. We can direct them through Austin or whatnot. If we can answer them, we will. But seriously, check out their packs. Go to a retail outlet. You mentioned Cabela's, Sportsman's. Mm-hmm. Are there any other
Shields?
Yeah. Put your hands on them. Yeah, Soon Bass Pro. So put your hands on them.
Just go to the retail store.
Or the retail store in Boise.
Is it a retail store or is it like more of an outlet?
No, it's kind of both. So we have all of our newest, latest, all the colors, and then we also have like a clearance corner. Cool. You know, some stuff's marked down a ton. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
So go there if you can.
Yeah, for sure.
I just need to stop up there.
Yeah.
Do never it. Make it up that way, but I got to come.
All right.
Yeah, someday.
Cool, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Thanks.